where you think this comes from. Make sure my microphone's on. It's not. All right, here goes. The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their household. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and tyrannize their teachers. Here's your multiple choice. Dr. Phil, Parenting Magazine, or Donald Trump? What do you think? Who thinks it's A, Dr. Phil? Who thinks it's Parenting Magazine? Who thinks it's Donald Trump? All right. This was bad of me, but it's neither none of those, okay? Let me tell you who it was. This was from a philosopher named Socrates 2,400 years ago. Surprise anybody? Raise your hands. Because we all thought that the youth being disobedient was a nowadays problem, right? It was always better back in our grandpa's day when everyone minded their parents, right? Well, not according to this. 2,400 years ago, a philosopher named Socrates penned these words. Seeing the youth being disrespectful, named off all these different things, chatter before company, cross their legs, and tyrannize their teachers. How many of us have seen or saw in the news where we have kids that were fighting their teachers, fist fighting their teachers, throwing things in classrooms, becoming ultimate disruptions? Not a new thing. Not a new thing. Confirms what the Bible says, doesn't it? Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. This idea, this disrespect, this being out of control, it's nothing new. And disrespect is a dangerous attitude. It's really dangerous because it means that we do not acknowledge, we do not heed what we disrespect. If you disrespect somebody, you do not acknowledge what they say, you do not heed what they say, it means that you disregard someone's counsel, that you're unthankful, that you're self-seeking. The Bible addresses disrespect from your children. It addresses it. I'm gonna read this to you in Deuteronomy. We'll end up in Exodus chapter 20 like we do every day reading these commandments. But I want to read something that the Bible addresses disrespect from your children. And listen closely real quick because here's the remedy for what Socrates said. You ready? If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, here's what you do. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold of him, bring him unto the elders of the city, unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is glutton, and all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, and that he shall die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. All right, everybody got it? Everybody ready to go home? Got all the parenting advice we need for today? This law was given to the Jewish people. They were given to the children of Israel. And I want to tell you real quick, this law wasn't for missing curfew or throwing baseball in the house or anything like that. This was talking about serious acts of disobedience. And then what it says is that once they would do these things, here's what would happen. The parents would bring it before the elders of the city. And why would they bring it before the elders of the city? So mom and dad couldn't be vengeful or angry, and a bout of anger like comes, you know what, I'm getting, you're going to be stoned to death today. They brought them before some elders and said, let's hear this matter. What are they doing? What's going on here? And what the children knew, here's what I want you to understand about this, what those children understood that maybe our children don't understand and what we need to make sure that our children do understand is that that society had an expectation, that God had an expectation about how children should live. Okay? There's no mistaking that those children knew that there was an expectation that it wasn't just okay to lay down in a shopping center and throw a tantrum. That there was an expectation how they should live. Now, would that get them stoned to death? No, it wouldn't. But I wouldn't doubt, I'd say there's nothing better than a deterrent. You know how we have little things that we say to get our kids to act up better. I think that back in the day, I say, don't make me bring you in front of the elders. Don't make me bring this before the people in the city. And I think a child would have straightened right up. But you know, you and I know, and I grew up in a time, and like I said, it's no different than any other time. But I can remember a time in school I went to school with a rowdy bunch. I remember this kid who seemed like he had no consequences for his action. He seemed like whatever he did not fear anything. And this kid was, everybody heard about getting sent off, right? You know, get sent off to reform school or sent off to some other place. Well, this kid Sean I grew up with, he got sent off. I only saw him just a couple brief moments for a few minutes, different times in my life, but they were just those moments until he got sent off again. And it wasn't long ago I was using Allison's Facebook, and I was scrolling, I was just trying to think of people, and I thought, I wonder how he's doing. You want to know how he's doing, how Sean's doing? Sean's in a maximum security penitentiary for violent crimes and drug use and hurting people. He might have been one of those people that we're reading about there in Deuteronomy that someone would have brought forth the elders and said, hey, this person is violent. They're not respecting their parents. They're not respecting authority. They're not respecting anything. God has a way, though, to avoid the whole calamity of ever getting that far, ever going that far. And he gave the solution to the children of Israel. And I want to remind you, as we've been studying about the law. And when we read about the law, when we study the law, God gave the law to specifically the children of Israel. It wasn't given to us. It was given to the children of Israel, the Jewish people. And Moses was on Mount Sinai, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, if you'll remember, if you were here with us, is almost like I want you to think of it as like a fenced-in backyard. That God says, listen, I want you to have a great life. I want you to have fun. I want you to play. I want you to reverence me. I want you to get the most out of this. But I've erected a fence to keep you safe. And that fence is the law. That fence keeps you and I, not just from, listen, damaging our relationship with God, but damaging our relationship with others and hurting ourselves. When we sin, listen, it doesn't just hurt God. It doesn't just hurt our relationship with God. Sin hurts it hurts us. It damages us. So, something I haven't mentioned, the first four laws that we've read all deal with our duty to God. The first four laws do. The last five laws deal with our duty towards man, to the one another stuff. What we're getting ready to read is the fifth law, and this fifth law is a transitional law, and I'm going to explain that towards the end here, but I just want you to remember that's a transitional law. It's not quite in either category right here. It's actually something that helps us begin to think of the next thing. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where we'll begin our reading, God has given the first four commandments, and now we come to the fifth, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now in the New Testament, this law is repeated, okay? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, I'll read it to you. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and the mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The Apostle Paul, who also wrote the book that we've been studying, Galatians, writes here in Ephesians, and he says, children, obey your parents, and he says, in the Lord. In the Lord. He says, for this is right. Now I want you to notice that what he says, he gives several reasons. He says, obey your children in the Lord, and that right there is part of the gospel. It's conducive to the gospel. It's conducive to the good news to obey and honor your parents. Okay? And he says, for this is right. When he says for this is right, here's what I want you to get, is that Paul's saying this is the natural order of things. This is the natural order thing. This is the way God ordained. This is the way God set it up. If you want to know what the hierarchy is or what the pyramid or the family tree, this is right, is what Paul says. Honor your mother and father, for this is right. And then he says also, which is the first commandment with a promise. He says, and it's also a commandment. So we see the same thing. Is it something that we just look at in the Old Testament and say, well, that's something that they were supposed to do, but nowadays we don't have to adhere or pay attention or care about these things? Paul repeats it in the New Testament and says, hey, guess what? This is the order of things. This is how things should be. I'm going to give you a breakdown real quickly of the command. If you're looking at Exodus chapter 20, it's just honor. And honor means to respect. It means to, if you remember back at Christmas, we studied a word called glory. And the word glory, I said, meant the weight of something. Well, when you look here in the Old Testament, the same word that says honor is the same word, the same root comes from the same origins that you get the word glory. And what it means, it says give weight. It's you to honor something, you're giving weight to it. And what? How do I think of that? I think of like anytime you, I've never had any, but I've seen movies where these guys that go and they go mining and they get gold out of something and they bring it to somewhere and they lay it in a scale and they the more that it weighs, the more it's worth, right? Give weight. Give weight to thy, what does it say? Your father and your mother, right? I want to say something before I go any further because I realized something as I studied this. I cannot devote enough time to this as it needs. I realized after studying this out that we could spend more than a month here. And what I'm saying is I realize that everyone here probably has a mom and dad story. Some of us have very, very honorable parents, have done honorable things and done great things. And I think some of you, maybe as you heard what we're studying today, might have been tempted to walk out of here. So, but Jamie, you don't know my parents. You don't know what they've done. You don't know how they treated me. Something I want to point out to you, and something I think is worth noting, is that this is God's Word right here, okay? And when you look at it, I don't see anywhere on here where there's any fine print. There's no clauses. There's no workarounds. God tells us to honor your father and your mother. And we're going to explore that and we're going to look at it today. And we're going to see how we can honor people who have acted dishonorably. And we're going to talk about those things, but we're going to kind of get a broad scope of what this commandment means. And like I said, we could spend more than a month here talking about the implications of this commandment. But I just want you to trust God's word today that we need that honoring your mother and father is what He's decreed and it is good for you. Okay, it's good for you. It will help you. It says in verse 5, it says your father and your mother. So what I want you to gather right there is that God says honor them, give them weight, and He says give them equal weight. Give them equal weight. They're not setting, He didn't say just honor your father or honor your mother. He says honor your father and your mother. I want you to remember that when Eve was made, she was pulled from the side of Adam. And as a mother and father, when you are doing things in your household, you guys are side by side. Feminism teaches that women are out in front. Chauvinism teaches that women are behind. But God's plan is that women are beside, that they are to be honored alongside with the father. That mothers are a very important part of their households. Does your household honor mom and dad equally? Let me ask you, let's do a little test real quick this morning. Any of y'all ever grown up in a house where you were doing some stuff and you were, like maybe mom was home and dad was out working doing some stuff and kids, maybe it was a bunch of boys, maybe it was a bunch of girls, I don't know. You started to act up and be a little bit rambunctious. I remember in my house, it was a thing where we'd pull the mattresses off the bed and put it on the staircase. We'd run down the stairs, and Mom would call us, and we'd just move on to the next thing, and we'd just get so crazy. Mom's trying to cook, she's trying to clean, she's trying to do all this thing, and Mom would say, "Wait till..." Y'all have heard this, right? You know what that means, right? We didn't honor our mother the way that we did our father. You see that? That what Dad said went. What Dad said, what Dad decreed would be given weight. But when Mom said it, there was no weight there. When we live in households where it's wait till your mama hears this, or I'll tell your mother, or wait, I'll tell your father, we are living in a house where our parents aren't given equal weight. Their mom and father are not being honored there. Children can learn to honor their mother and their father. They can do that by how mom and dad honor each other. How mom and dad honor each other. If dad mistreats mom and treats her like one of the kids, guess what the kids will do? Treat mom like one of the kids, like just one of them. Somebody has no authority, deserves no respect. He's none of those things. The last five commandments that are here that deal with how we treat our neighbor, but you and I, what's important to understand is that we can't begin to address how we treat our neighbor until we address how we treat our own parents. Because those people live with us. Those people are invested in us. If we neglect that first responsibility, you and I can never look on beyond that and start saying, "Hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to love on those people. I'm going to be this for those people. I'm going to do all these things." And you've neglected your very own parents. It can't happen. It doesn't work like that. God says that isn't the model. That's not what it's supposed to look like. How do you... And here's a question that I'm sure is on people's minds and we have to talk about. Is how do you honor a flawed parents? Now, let me say this. I'm a flawed parent. How do you honor parents that are dysfunctional, abusive, that have less desirable traits that are really looked down upon in society? Like I said, the first thing you need to acknowledge is there's no fine print here, okay? There's no clause that says we can get around that. But I got a few things. I got three things I want you to look at how we can give honor to our parents who may not have been very honorable in their actions. We can honor them by forgiving them, can't we? Can't we? We can honor them by forgiving them. When we don't forgive somebody, we've talked about this a lot. We discuss it here, especially Unity. When we don't forgive somebody, what happens is that there is a root of bitterness, okay, that we have. And when we don't forgive somebody, that root of bitterness is transferred into the heart of the person who does not forgive, okay? And then there it flourishes. And it is a cycle that is a cycle that is a cycle that will just go and go and run rampant in your life. And the only cure for the cancer of bitterness is forgiveness. If you want to be able to cure that cancer, if you are bitter here this morning, if there's a thing that you're looking at, and in your heart you say, "Jamie, but you just don't know what they've done." There's bitterness inside of you. There is something that you are unable to move around or move over. Now listen, there are some things that, listen, you have to acknowledge happened. There are some things that parents can do that are atrocious, that are bad things. And I'm not saying you forgive and you forget. I'm saying that you forgive them and you move on from that thing. You do not hold that against their account. That doesn't mean that you don't keep walls and keep spaces and keep, make sure that it's safe. But I'm saying you do forgive them. Have you ever known someone who just absolutely hates their mom and dad? Who just says, "I hate my mom and dad," or "I hate my dad. I'll never be like my dad," and they're just like their father. Anybody know that person? You ever seen someone, maybe they got a grandfather, or a great grandparent, or somebody that they know in their life, and they've seen them, and it just brings up bad memories, bad things happen. It's like, "I never want to be like that person. If you ever catch me acting like that person, just smack me in the head. Knock some sense into me." But then a lot of times we find out that person usually is saying that ends up just like the person they're trying to not be like. Why does that happen? You know, when I was at working at my company, we had to learn traffic, some traffic laws, traffic things to be able to make barricades and divert traffic on the roads. And one thing we were taught is that whenever you put up a barricade in the road, the barricades have arrows on them. And the arrows are slanted or lines, and they're slanted one way or another. And those lines are there because they divert someone's eyes away from the barricade into the direction that the road is going. Because here's the fact, here's the law, is that you will go where you are looking. Okay? If I'm looking at this wall and I start to run, I'm going to slowly veer and drift towards this wall. Okay? You don't look at something and run in a different direction. What you are looking at is what you will run into. And if you have a point of bitterness in your life, something that you despise, that has made you angry, that you hate, that you say, I will not be like, and that you are looking at it and you're looking at it, guess what? You are ever so always creeping toward it. Going toward the very thing that you despise. And the only way to break that cycle, the only way to be anything different, listen, is to truly forgive somebody. You can honor your parents by forgiving them. Aaron read it the other night in our school. There's a verse that says, you know, we need to not look at the person or the thing that the root of bitterness, but we need to look to Jesus. And Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, listen to this, let us lay aside every weight. Okay? Weight. Something that's given weight to. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you don't want to be like Dad, you don't look at Dad and all his faults. You don't bring up Dad and his faults every day. You don't remind yourself about how bad of a father he was and how insufficient he was and how he left you when you were two. And he's not even present in my life. You know who you look to? You look to Jesus. You lay aside that weight and you look to Jesus. Second thing, we can honor them by showing them grace. That's a powerful one. Because you don't deserve it, but your mother or your father may not deserve the grace, but if you be honest, neither did you. Neither did you. Grace is unmerited favor. It means you did nothing to deserve it. You did nothing to earn it. You get it because God wanted to give it to you. You can extend that same grace to someone else. I think of it like a banking account. I think about like if you were to go somewhere and you had someone who deposited, again, an account that was zero. Okay? Or maybe you even had debt in your account. Maybe I'm just talking to everybody right now. Account zero or maybe debt in your account. But let's say that that's you today, and then you wake up tomorrow, and instead of being zero or having a deficit, now you have a bunch. A plethora. So much you can't spend. What would it say about you if you walked out of there and you started beating people over the head about the debts that they owed you when all your debts were paid? What would that say about you? God has made our bank account full so we can freely spend grace on other people. God has deposited a great deposit on our account. You and I don't have to hold things over people's head. We don't have to be angry and bitter at them. We can freely forgive them. We can give them grace because we've been given it. Our bank account is full. We don't have to go around choking people for small amounts of money. For little grievances or big grievances that they've done in our life, because God has given us an abundance. The third thing is that we can honor the office of our parents. Have you ever heard of people say you don't salute the man, you salute the uniform? You ever heard that? Romans 13:7 talks about God placing people in positions of authority, that God has set them there, and that by honoring authority, we honor God. If you want to honor God, if you want to be pleasing to God, here's what you do. You honor the authority that He has put in your life. You honor the office. Because here's what happens when you dishonor somebody, when you dishonor a mom and dad. You don't just dishonor that mom and dad. You dishonor every other person that fills that office. That is a mother and father to someone else anywhere else. Moms and dads are something that God has given us. It is a social construct of our society. If you want to know how important it is, go to any place in our society where fathers have taken a leave of absence, where they've walked out on their kids, and they left mom and sons and daughters to fend for themselves. Tell me how important it is that the mother and father are present. Look at homes where mothers are pushed aside, treated like property, stepped on, used, and abused by their kids. What does that look like? God made something so much greater, so much better, so much more than we can fathom. If we would just honor what He set in place, listen, things would be so great. Who is supposed to honor the parents, though? Is it for everybody in here? We're all children, okay? We're all children for as long as we live. Children and teens growing up in the homes, they need to honor the parents. They can honor them by being obedient, by respecting them. You know, when you get to the teenage years, it goes from when you're a kid, when the kids are 4 and 5 years old, mom and dad are heroes. And then when they get to the teenage years, then all of a sudden mom and dad are zeros. And then you move on to this, to the next place. You get to where you're in your 20s and all of a sudden mom and dad's okay again. They're all right. I can tolerate them. I can be around them. But the fact is that this commandment says that it comes with a promise. It says so that you may live long. Do you think that you have any wisdom, anything that you can impart to your kids that will help them navigate life? Do you have a laundry list of experiences that's worked and not worked for you? Sure you have. Do you ultimately, you mess up, do you ultimately want the best for your kids? Those who want the best for the kids, who look out for the kids that listen to their parents say, hey, don't do that. That's going to hurt you, son. Watch out for that. That's going to mess you up later in life. Parents that do that prolong their kid's life. That's just a fact. It just happens. Live long when you listen. When you listen to good instruction, when you listen to people that are wiser than you, it behooves you. It helps you. Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let the heart keep thy commandments, for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Young adults, like I said, in their 20s, that they go from uncool to okay again. You got to give them weight in your life, though. You got to give, when you're 20-some years old, as mom and dad become irrelevant, you've moved out of the house, they got to have weight. Does that mean that they can tell you what to do? Does that mean mom can call you up and say, hey, daughter, I think that you need to paint your house pink today. Hey, son, you ought to marry this woman, and I won't take no for an answer. It doesn't mean that. It means that we listen to their counsel. It means we let them know that they're still our parents and what they say is important to us. We honor them. We include them in our thoughts and our decisions and our prayers and all those things, that we make them still feel loved and wanted. What about older adults? What about once you get up in your 40s, 50s, 60s? It means we take care of our parents. Matthew 15:3, I'm going to read this to you real quick. Jesus was talking, he said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? The commandment he's talking about is the one to honor the mother and father. He says, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his mother and father, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of non effect by your tradition. And what was happening, let me explain real quick, is that mom and dad needed some things. Mom and dad were suffering, they needed money back in those days. And you know what the kid said? He said, "Mom, Dad, I would love to give you this money. I would love to hand it, put it in your hand. But you know what? I've already dedicated it to the Lord. It's already bound for the offering plate. I'm sorry, I can't help you." Jesus says, by doing that, you've completely nullified the commandment to honor your mother and father. You just made a workaround. You just made some type of way to get out of doing the very thing that God's asked you to do. It's not the job of Social Security. It's not the job of the government. It's not the job of nursing homes to take care of our parents. It's not. If they want to be, if it is ultimately up to us to make sure that they are receiving the care that they need. Am I saying that a nursing home isn't the place that they can be? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it is your job as your child to make sure they're receiving the care and the love that they need while they're there. It's important. We don't stop being someone's children. When we don't honor our parents, listen to this real quick. When we don't honor our parents, here's what was happening. We're not honoring God either, okay? Because when we don't give weight to our parents, we're obviously not giving weight to what God said right here. God has set forth and He's established the family in the Garden of Eden. He established the man and wife and He set them as authority in their families below God. And I call this a transitional commandment because the first four pertain to the actions and our duties to God and the last five to what we do to man. But right here, before we go any further, before you can be anything to another man, once you are committed to God and you're all these things, before you can be anything to your neighbor, are you honorable? Are you respectful? Are you give weight? Do you love your parents? Do you love the people that God has put into your home, has put as authorities over you? Have you done that? If you haven't done that, if you've neglected that, listen, we don't move on to the next thing. We don't skip over mom and dad to go love on Joe Schmo across the street. We don't leave mom and dad neglected. The thing is, and the hardest part about all this and what we need to go before we can go anywhere is that you and I can never truly extend grace to anyone. I talked about how we honor our parents, about forgiving and giving grace. So you and I cannot extend grace. We cannot give grace until we first receive it, okay? We have to receive it. The power to love, to forgive, to overcome hurt, it's all found in one person, okay? And that's Jesus. Jesus Christ has the power to overcome a lot of hurt, a lot of things that's happened in life. Jesus says He's overcome the world. I want to read something to you, and if you'll flip there, it's the first chapter of John. John 1, verse 14. I want to read this together, and then we'll close. John 1, 14. John 1:14 says this. It says, "And the Word was made flesh." This Word was Jesus, okay? And Jesus, He dwelt among us, and He dwelt among us so eventually He could die on behalf of us, so then after that He could live inside us, okay? He dwelt among us so eventually He could die on behalf of us, so one day He would live inside of us. And when we believe on His name, when we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that He will live inside of us. That He will come and He will abode in us. Look what it says. Ever says, "And the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory." And the people there that time, listen, who witnessed Jesus Christ and beheld the weight and the gravity of God living among them, those people were there, they were able to witness what it looked like for God in the flesh to come and live among them, to dwell among them. And it says, "In the glory as the only begotten of the Father." God is our Heavenly Father. I want you to get this. When we believe in the name of Jesus, you and I are placed, listen, when we believe in the name of Jesus, you and I are placed into the family of God. And God becomes our Heavenly Father, okay? Becomes our Heavenly Father. He won't abandon you. He won't abuse you. He won't forsake you. He won't do any of those things, okay? God is the perfect Father. If you have an absent father in your life, you have a father that has not lived up to his expectations, he has not been what you needed to be, guess what? That's going to be okay. Because God says, I'll be your heavenly Father. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll never abuse you. I'll never leave you dry. I'll never disappoint. And the last part of this verse is that Jesus was what? What's it say there? Full of grace and truth. If you'll open your heart to Jesus this morning, He will live within you. And what's it say Jesus is full of? Grace and truth. Could you use a little grace in your life? Could you? Could you use the favor of God, the unmerited favor of God today? Is that something like that seems desirable to you? Said, I don't think things have really went my way. Things have really went good. I feel like actually everything's against me. I feel like the world's just been pushing against me. You know why? Because the things of God are coming about. No one thwarts the will of God. The will of God goes. Okay? And when you are not in the will of God, what I mean is today, if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are going against the grain, brothers and sisters. You are going against the grain. If you could use, if you're in here this morning, I could use some grace. I feel short on grace. You know what? I feel short on truth, Brother Jamie. I feel like I've looked at a lot of different things. A lot of things let me down, and they turn out to be smoke and mirrors. I could use truth. Well, guess what? It says Jesus is full of grace and full of truth. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but by Him. Okay? He says, but by me. If you want to have that Heavenly Father, you want to be in that family of God, listen, it starts right there. It starts right there by believing, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and letting Him fill you full of His grace and truth. And then you are placed into the family of God where you've got a perfect Father that demands your honor, demands that you give Him weight. And through the love that He provides you, guess what? You're able to put love out to other people. Right now, if you think, right now, if you're sitting in here and you are not saved, and you think that you are loving your wife, or you love your husband, you're loving your kids, you don't know nothing yet until you've experienced the love of Jesus. You don't know anything yet. And I hate to say it that way, but listen, you are missing out on so much. We don't ever truly love until we've gotten true love from our God, who sent Jesus here to die for you. Would you stand this morning? I realize the things that we talked about this morning may have stirred up a lot of hurt in people. I'm telling you, there's healing in one person. There's grace in one person. There's forgiveness in one person. That's Jesus Christ. I said, brother, I need that. You gotta go to Jesus this morning. But brother, I've already gave to Jesus, but I still feel like I've got bitterness and I got all these things. Well, look, remember what we read about in Hebrews. Lay aside your weight and look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Everyone in this room, doesn't matter how you came in, we all need to be looking at Jesus when we leave. This morning, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. This is your opportunity. This is an invitation for you to respond to the message that you heard. Come forward and let me pray with you. Let me show you the way. Let me show you how you can enter into a relationship, a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior today. If you don't want to come forward, you can do it right where you stand. You can accept Jesus into your heart right where you sit, by believing in Him, by believing that He died for you. Would you do that this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank You so much for just divine instruction. That we can read the laws that You gave Your people thousands of years ago, and we can look at it today, and the truth hasn't swerved, it hasn't went to the left or to the right, but it's still exactly how You laid it, that if we just listen to Your wisdom, Father, that are We'd be blessed because of it. And we're cursed because we drift away. We do other things. We get so wrapped up in the way the world does things that we just neglect the truth of Your Word. Father, help us to stay focused on it. Help us to look to Your Son, who You've sent here, that's full of grace and truth. Father, help us to honor our parents. Help us to honor You. Help us to honor you by honoring our parents. If there's anyone in this service that does not know the grace and favor of you, Father, I pray that you impress upon our hearts how dire, how important, how there's nothing more important, that they don't need to go step out of those doors without working these things out with you this morning. Father, go with us and have your will and way in this invitation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.